All right. I'm recording.
There you go.
Can you see me or not?
No.
All right. Hold on. Then. Do you want to?
It's up to you. Yeah.
Hey.
I changed my mind. Turn it off. Look at that big, fuzzy, friendly face. Who wouldn't want to look at that?
Hey, beautiful people. Hi. How are you?
Oh, and Josh.
Yeah, I'm here too. Don't leave me out.
I added some ambient lighting over here for a little warmth.
Things look a little purple.
Yeah, back here, I turned my black blankets purple.
Yeah.
Don't it make my black blankets purple?
Oh, Jesus. Is this how we're going to start? Is this going to be one of those?
No, we're going to start like this.
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
That was sweet.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best. That's just the best.
Welcome, everybody. Josh Flicker's here. Hi. Larry Morgan's here. I'm Andy Chanley. Sam Farmer's on assignment. Mm-hmm. And it's lovely to see you. How are you?
I'm here.
I'm good. I just finished up a couple of weeks of having to actually reside in dirty, stinky, gross, germ-infested, virus-laden Los Angeles.
Ooh.
And I am admittedly very happy to be back.
So now you filled in for the morning show.
I did. And they wanted me to do it live in studio. And for the life of me, I cannot fit. I actually told my boss at one point, I said, there was zero reason for me to be in that studio during this period. I wasn't interacting with anybody. I didn't have a co-host.
Did you take phone calls?
I didn't really, because I was just keeping the content so low key. And I think the listeners are so used to when the morning show is normally gone, they just don't kind of feel like interacting. So I keep it music intensive. I do my wacky shtick. I took a couple of calls. So it was nice to actually have some interaction. But in the long run, it's like, did it really feel weird?
Did it feel weird to actually like be in there live?
Yeah.
You know what? In the studio.
In full disclosure, I have gotten so accustomed now to tracking my show and having more control over the way things sound that I actually did not work in the main studio. I decided to go into the tracking studio and I just started working ahead a little bit. So, especially since I didn't have any help. So, if I wanted any production value, I could work in that studio. I could produce stuff up. I could use some music beds. I could pull up a news report if I needed to drop something in. I created the break and then dropped it in a good 15, 20 minutes ahead of time. And I did that for 2 weeks and it sounded great. And trying to go live and, you know, be barely awake and very, you know, and you guys know me, I'm not very coherent even when I am, you know, fully awake. That's clear on this podcast. So So by the time the 2 weeks was done, I was basically wrapping up my show by 8:30 and was still around in case anything changed or, you know, some news broke or something. But I kind of had everything done, so I was able to use that time. I probably shouldn't be telling anybody this.
How many people?
A lot of day drinking.
How many people were in the building with you? Now you should know that in this building, it's all intercom. So it's KNX News and it's Jack FM and K Rock and K Earth and so forth. All of those stations. How many people were actually in the building with you?
I can't speak to KNX because they are on a different floor, although they have consistently through this had at least a skeleton crew. They've got some reporters who just have been staying out of the building, but the anchors and I believe the traffic reporters are there. So that's a handful of people through most of the day. I think the writers are writing remotely. As far as on my floor, there are only two stations out of 1, 2, 3, 4 that have morning shows back. And that would be the K Earth morning show, which would be four people, but it was just one. And then Stryker and Klein, who've taken over on K-Rock, they have a support staff of, like, I think two other people. So they've got four people. So there were a total of five people on the floor.
Did you, like, see anybody in the hallway and it was, like, weird? You were just staring at each other like, do we pass each other? Or did, like, you dive into an office and let one person walk past you in the hallway? How was that?
I basically just saw people through windows, and I would go to the K-Rock studios right on the kitchen, so I'd go there and see Stryker and see what color his hair is today, and and we'd wave at each other, and literally we would wave and just kind of shrug and go, I guess that's it, I shouldn't come in and talk to you. So yeah, it was weird. It was also just, it's been almost 4 months where I haven't been in a radio station but still doing a radio show. So
yeah,
that was a strange feeling.
I'm going in tomorrow. We're doing this on Sunday. We're speaking on Sunday. So on Monday, I'm going in because we're doing our monthly mini pledge drive. You can't do the put together the phone bank thing, right, and have people elbow to elbow. So we've kind of had to come up with a new model of how do you keep a publicly supported station on the air. So each month we do a little thing, and tomorrow, during my show, part of the thing is part of the show is matched pledges. Like, these people have come together and said, here's a few thousand dollars, we'll match whatever you get in said hour. So I'm actually going into the studio tomorrow to do my show live there, and it's cool because there they have the real-time the computer where the pledges come in, so I can get, like, someone's message who says, yeah, this is Tim from Rancho Santa Margarita. Andy, you suck balls. And I can read that immediately on the air. Because I've told people, whatever you send in.
I'm going to jump all over this opportunity.
I am definitely renewing my membership this drive. Because I've never really known what to say. And I didn't want, I like being anonymous with these things. Because I don't need to brag, but... But now I realize that there is a message that I want to send out to the rest of the world.
Good.
In support of your fine station.
Andy, I'm going to burn down your shed.
So I'm going to go in there. But here's the thing. They just started.
By the way, you'd get way much more money if you made it clear that you would say that. You would. Anyway, sorry.
They announced on Friday, if you're going to show up on campus, if you're going to come in, you've got to fill out this survey every time. So every day, if you're going to go in 5 days a week, 5 days a week, you've got to fill out this survey. I haven't looked at it yet, but it requires a thermometer. So I think the questions are going to be, do you have a fever? Have you been around anybody in 14 days who has COVID-19? All of this stuff. What is your temperature right now? All of I'm sure it's those five questions.
Right.
But
we have something very similar too, except they actually will. You have to log on and take, like I said, it's probably like five or six questions. They're all the exact same thing. And they have somebody with a thermometer there to zap you. But I haven't had to do it yet. But I remember when they gave those protocols for going in.
Yep.
Nice. You mentioned shed.
I'm sorry I did. Can I donate money to take that back? Can I donate money to have you delete that from this podcast?
I just want to catch you guys up on some burning questions.
Okay, thank God, Andy.
I know you have.
I don't seem to remember either one of us going, hey, make sure you get to the shed
hold on just a second. What happened? Josh is a little bitch, because here's what happens. We get in these podcasts and he dogs me for all this stuff, right? And that's his character. Uh-huh. That's his shtick. And then like midweek on Wednesday, I get a text. hey, do you have a belt sander? do you have a power rake?
It's true. It's totally true.
How would you go about affixing this to that with minimal effort and expense?
Yeah,
son of a bitch.
Except I build the thing and then I don't talk about it again.
Yeah,
for the next
yeah.
6 years.
You know what? You know what he doesn't do? He doesn't bring it to the podcast. He keeps it off the microphone where it belongs.
You keep it away from where it could do the most good. Right. We are educating people. Uh-huh.
We.
That's if anything is getting done, if COVID-19 is improving our society in any way, shape, or form, it's in that people are doing more work on their homes themselves. The DIY.
Let me tell you what happened to me this week. I still can't believe this happened. I got an over-the-range microwave, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it came with the place, and like a couple of weeks ago, I don't even know what, it's just this weird thing happens. I opened it up and like a little piece of plastic from the bottom of the door kind of just like cracked off. And I grabbed it and I looked at it and I'm like, this is weird. Like microwaves, they don't just like fall apart, like crumble. You know what I mean? Like they usually like something inside dies and they just quit working. I don't know what this is from.
Sure.
So I just throw it away, and I'm like, whatever. I don't know what the hell to do about that. So I'm sitting there, like it was like middle of this week, and I go to open up the microwave, and I look, and again, it's above the range, so it's eye level. Like the glass part of it, right? You know what I mean? Like the window part had slid down like 6 inches. And I'm like, what the hell? So I go and grab the door of the microwave and open it up, and the whole bottom of it breaks off. And the glass falls out of the microwave. I'm just like, what the hell? I've never seen an appliance just crumble apart. So now I have like a half-ass microwave above my range, and I'm gonna go try to buy one and install it. But
now this is the kind that has the hood on the bottom of
yeah,
it with the suck yeah
yeah
oh that's yeah, gonna that's, be a pain
yeah those things weigh like 50 yeah. pounds
yeah, yeah. They're pretty heavy,
but fortunately I'm a big guy.
I think they'll work great without that window in it. You go ahead.
I already looked it up. They will. We did.
No.
There's two pieces. There's just the glass piece, and then there's the window part with the dots in it, and that thing's there because the microwaves will not make it past those dots, so it's fine to use.
They have little. It's like a screen.
Yeah.
And they're by definition microwaves are very small waves, small wavelength. But as I understand it, they make the mesh, the holes in it,
smaller
than the wavelength, so they won't pass right. through. They'll bounce off exactly. it and just continue bouncing around inside there. Do you remember the story of how the microwave got invented?
It was somebody left something on in there.
I believe it was part of the Manhattan Project. I may be wrong about that, but it was one of the scientists was walking around, and they had a magnetron, you know, the thing that makes the microwaves yeah. that generates them, and he had a chocolate bar in his pocket. And he's over standing next to it, and he's like, what is going on here? He reached in his pocket. It was just goo.
So he's and basically he's like, microwaving his balls too, huh?
Yes. Yeah. They're cooking themselves.
Good times.
But it was then they realized that, oh, shit, that can cook stuff, and that's going through us, isn't it? And they harnessed the energy.
That's got to be – when was that – when was like the first – when was the microwave actually put into – like when did people
into houses yeah. into homes?
Yeah.
Well, it's weird. I remember in the early 80s, my brother was working at JCPenney, like, you know, 83, 84, somewhere around there. And I started working there in 85, 86, selling shoes there. Anyway, I was like a junior in high school. But I remember then that he asked my mom if she was, you know, because he was working in the appliances department, and asked if she was interested in one, and she's like, no, I don't think so. Well, finally, there was one that was a return or something, and it was such a deal. Like, it got, you know, this giant microwave for like $100, and she's like, okay, all right, for that, I'll get one. The thing was as big as a fucking steamer.
Oh, truck. Yeah. Right. And like, you know, you could only put, like the middle of it was only, like, the size of a shoebox, too. Like, you couldn't even put, like, two cups of coffee in there. That's it.
It was massive.
And you remember our first one didn't even have like a digital screen. It had like the flip numbers. Remember, like you turn the knob there was like this
like a clock, like old clock alarms.
Yep, that's how you had to set like the timer for how long it would run. It would be like
wow. No, we never had one that was that vintage. No. Oh, yeah. But I remember the knob where you turn the knob and it would, you know, just count down like it's a sun lamp.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, late 70s is if you remember in the movie American Hustle, and it takes place in the late 70s, and Jennifer Lawrence keeps referring to theirs that the husband brought home as a space oven. but I guess they've been around since the 60s, but they were just so massive they weren't available for home use really until the 70s. Because I definitely remember our first one, and it was monstrous. And it also...
I remember ours came with a cookbook.
Yeah. But there was like just no nuance to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You couldn't... I mean, it was like it's either heat something to death or not. And that was basically it. Those two settings.
All they really were here's a machine that'll heat your water in 30 seconds for your tea. And it'll reheat your coffee. That's but people use them for 95% of the time and an occasional TV dinner.
It's coffee and popcorn, the top two uses.
Yep.
I will throw this out to you, and you'll poo-poo it, but we have not had a microwave oven in our house for 10 years.
Poo-poo.
Why?
We have not had one for 10 years. Well, Laura is up the mind.
You guys
are
going to start going back to well water, too?
Laura's of the mind that that... nuking food just depletes it of its nutrients. That it, you know, yeah, just
you,
you know, that
it. You could use it for other things.
Well, that's the thing is you could use it for other things, but then again, if you don't have this thing taking up the fucking space in your kitchen, you can have other things in your kitchen like space.
I rarely range refrigerator.
We have a hood, right? Okay. That sucks the and it's it has a light and so forth, but it's up and it's kind of stylish looking. It you know it's nice, right. And it kind of extends a little bit further over the cook space. And then also, you know, when we need to do anything that a microwave does, like heat up water, we've got a kettle. We've got an electric kettle that works just about as fast. And anytime I need to do anything else, like melt butter or, you know, something quickly like that, or heat something up, I just use the fucking oven or the stove. And it really isn't there have been very
few times.
Yeah, that's
one more dish you got to clean.
Yeah, but you're getting dishes dirty anyway at that point.
I like the convenience of being able to throw something in a box.
We don't use it anymore.
Away,
well, I was just going to suggest for you, you could save probably a couple of $100 by just getting yourself a hood and putting it in there, and you wouldn't have to worry about the microwave. Did we just lose Josh? Did I just lose both of you?
I am here. I'm just watching Josh's frozen face.
Yeah, I got to screenshot that.
Yeah. You got it quick?
Yeah, I got it.
All right.
That's lovely. it's he's frozen in a look of poo-poo to me.
Yeah, he's just the beginning of a little, he's squeezing something out. Just now we've got two of you. So how do you drop the other one?
I don't know. I hope it eventually drops off.
There you go.
There you go.
What happened?
Hey, welcome.
I don't know. I just remember saying something about a microwave, and then I got your two mugs just frozen on my screen.
You were frozen in a look of disdain.
It came out on the screen.
It looked more like the beginnings of a gastrointestinal session that was going to be difficult, is really what it looked like.
Yeah, exactly. Just like that. But anyway, you could, I screenshot it so you could see it later.
Good.
Your look of just, yeah,
we'll,
telling me to go
we'll
piss off.
We'll post that on the Facebook page.
You could save hundreds of dollars just by getting a hood and putting it up there and not messing with the microwave. That's all I'm saying.
All right, let's talk about your shed.
Now, it's not shed work. There are a couple things that happened in the last few days. Uh-huh. To just catch up quickly, as far as gate goes. Uh-huh. I painted it with primer yesterday.
Oh,
it's
good.
All primed. It's all gray. Great. It's ready for the final black. I'm excited about that.
What about that drop rod? You get your drop rod in. Drop rod
is in.
That's what
I couldn't remember.
Thank you, Larry. I'm like, it's a drop stick. Kick something. I know what it is.
I'll never forget drop rod.
Dropkick Murphys. It was great. It was great fun. I went out and I drilled that hole last week and dropped my rod right in it.
great fun.
But something has happened in the last few days. I haven't received it yet, all of it, but I purchased one of the coolest tool, maybe the coolest tool I've ever purchased.
All right, let me think here.
I'm pretty fucking stoked about it. Basically,
is it cordless?
Not exactly.
What?
It either has a cord or it doesn't.
Well, no, it has a cord, but it's not an electrical cord.
Okay, it's got a cord.
What does
cord.
That mean?
It's... Is this a tool?
It's a tool.
Is it an electric tool? Or is it a manual tool?
It's kind of both, but it's not on its own.
It's electric, but it's not.
Is it a widget?
Yeah. Here's what I'm going to do. I want to show you guys part of this set of tools.
You're going to show me your tool?
And I want you to, I'm going to show, I'm going to put the picture of it up, so you both can see it simultaneously.
All right.
And I want you to answer this question as you look at it. Is this, or is it not, Han Solo's blaster?
It looks like an iPhone.
We can't see anything except,
Is that some type of drawing instrument?
No.
Hold on.
That, my friends.
Is that? Oh, okay. Interesting.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
Does it? Oh.
Yeah, it does kind of look, well, it's missing.
There it is.
Okay,
oh,
there
it is.
Go.
All right, that's, it's got a hose. Is it some type of air compressing tool?
It is a type of air compressing thing. This is a Ingersoll Rand air hammer pistol.
Yeah, that's air hammer pistol. That's your new nickname.
Air hammer pistol. So Lara has been up my ass for.
And she, with a that? Year or two. Is that what it's Jeez. Used for? Oh yeah. My.
By the way, she has she's admonished me. She's listened to some podcasts lately.
Uh-oh.
And she's heard me. Imitate her.
So he leads this segment with Lara's been up my ass lately.
I want to make it clear. Right. I love this woman dearly.
Okay, yes.
Good.
And she
right.
is a lovely life partner for me,
yeah.
And she's fantastic.
But as you have proven, she's got this high, shrill voice that you find incredibly annoying. I mean, I think it's unfair because I think her voice is delightful. To me, she has the voice of an angel. I don't know what's going on behind the closed
door.
Did
you see he wrote down the time so where he knows where to edit this?
I tease this girl because there is so very little to tease her about. Mm-hmm. She's a saint. She's lovely. She's wonderful, and in so many ways, perfect. So if I didn't pick something like this out, then it's what she realizes is that I am never concerned with accuracy when I do an imitation. It's all about. It's all about caricature and being a little hurtful. So she's
not so much that when you do it, it's not that she sounds that way. It's just that's how she sounds to you. I think is what you're saying.
Yes. Exactly. Anyway, she has exorted me.
Oh goodness.
with some regularity about fixing the tile that's on our porch. Now, you need to know.
Are you talking about you talking about the steps? The front steps?
Yeah.
Okay, because you've pointed this out to me before, I believe.
Yeah. So when we moved into this house 6 years ago, it looked like a minimum security penitentiary. It was piss yellow. It had big iron bars on all of the windows. And, so many things wrong with this place. It just looked like shit.
I can see why you gravitated to it and snapped that baby up.
Yeah, we had
did they give it away? Was it a lottery? What the hell?
Our realtor at the time is like, the realtor is like, yeah, I don't see it. But you know, we saw a lot of potential for things
he walked straight back past the house, the backyard, and he saw this little cement area, and he saw, for the first time in his life, the most perfect shed in all the land.
The clouds parted, and he heard the seraphim sing.
And the family, everybody was walking out of the property, he just went, we'll take it.
Who couldn't see it? Anyway, we started working on the place and changing all these things. Well, the one thing, like when we painted the house, the steps were tiled in this, I don't know, like the color of pink slime tile.
Pink slime tile.
It's like this,
like 60s bathroom tile.
Yeah, it was this buff color, kind of pinkish, sort of color of tile. Salmon, yes.
Salmon, yeah.
These salmon, 1 foot square tile, and they were fucking hideous. And so at the time, we had the people that painted our house, paint these tiles so that they would be an even darker gray. And, at least we wouldn't have to deal with that right then. Well, what's happened since then, as you can imagine, the heat, the direct sunlight they're exposed to and the traffic.
And the glaze and everything from the tiles.
Yeah, it's you can rough it up and do whatever and, put primer on, but even epoxy paint, it's gonna scratch it.
Right.
So the time has come, she wants me to take these tiles off and retile it with something that she chooses. And I'm in principle down for that, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to be down there with a fucking hammer and a chisel getting these things off.
Why not?
Because, for one thing, you ever chisel something like that off? The hammer, at least once, is going to hit your hand.
If you're a klutz.
Poor baby.
But it's only like 6 feet.
Oh, it's probably 60 square feet when you consider the sides and the
buy a compressor. Or did you?
And a chisel drill like that comes with chisels in it. That thing's gonna clean that off in 10 minutes.
Are you gonna? I apologize. I should not make fun of you. I also will find jobs that my wife wants me to do for excuse to buy tools. I get it.
That's the best.
Yeah, ever use that thing again?
I'll bet you use the compressor.
Here's the thing. I also want to take the tiles off of the back patio underneath the automotive pavilion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I can use it for popping those off as well.
Right.
And that any time you come across, if I want to break up a piece of concrete or anything like that, I'll still have that thing. And it was that's the thing with pneumatic tools. It's cheap as chips. Like that blaster I just showed you. $39.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Now that you have the compressor, you can buy a whole bunch of little other things.
Yeah, you can. And one of the cool things you can buy is one of those air painter.
Oh yeah.
So I could paint stuff with and get like a really nice finish
on
it.
You can hook that thing up to like a drill and take off your lug nuts on your car like NASCAR. Awesome.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally.
If I remember correctly from No Country for Old Men, you could probably commit the perfect murder and it's not registered with any law enforcement either.
All you need to do is get a shotgun with a soup can on the end of it too, and it'll be fine.
So yeah, you got that going for you.
I can kill cows. Yeah, sure. Oh, heavens. So yeah, I'm pretty excited. I got the compressor. I'm still waiting for the blaster to come.
Also, you haven't even got it yet. You're waiting for the Han Solo blaster.
Yeah.
How excited are you to have you chiseled anything yet?
No, I don't, it comes tomorrow.
Oh, I thought you said the compressor came with the chisel.
Oh, the compressor comes separately. I had to buy the hose for the compressors and the
I think Larry chisel just gun. Took his headphones off. <I'm here. laughs> I think he just started watching.
I'm just
TV.
Adjusting. I'm standing up because if I keep sitting down, I'm gonna doze off, and that's just rude.
Hey, did you guys see what was back yesterday on TV?
No.
Baseball. They started their first scrimmages.
Oh, and wow.
I watched half of one inning of the Pittsburgh Pirates play the Cleveland Indians, and they pump in crowd volume, right? The guys, all the fielders, they all wear like neckerchiefs and everything, and they leave them off, but like as soon as someone gets on base, they all put their masks on.
Oh, weird.
It is super weird. There's nobody in the stands, right? So what they do is they take all the players and they set up all these little pop-up tents, like, you know, like the tents that you have for like events, like sound events, you know what I mean? Or, you know, like the, what do you call
easy
it?
Up
yeah,
tents.
Easy up tents. They have tents like that sitting all through the stands because they don't want all the players sitting in the dugout side by side. So they put them up in the stands and spread them out like four seats apart in all these tents, like around the backs, around the plate. It was crazy. It was so
weird.
That, was now, so you bizarre. Know, I realize by the time this drops, this episode drops, it should be opening day on Thursday.
What? Is Thursday opening day?
Wow.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we went out to eat. Grammy was in town, so we went out to eat last night. A restaurant here in town that has all outdoor seating. You know, like everybody has their own individual cabana, right. and a lovely spot. And as we're leaving it, I'm walking out past the bar area, and I see on TV a soccer match. And they're playing soccer. Nobody in the stands.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the weirdest thing to look at, to see a competitive game being played and nobody fucking watching.
There cannot be a chance in hell that there's going to be an NFL season.
I can't see it.
I don't think so. I can't even believe
they're doing basketball.
I don't think that these seasons are going to last very long. I think they're going to have to call it. I think
baseball is the only one that might have a chance because it's a huge field and you're really not on top of. There's like not that much physical contact, but like NBA and NFL, they're like their faces are right in each other's faces all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. They proposed the Corona Shield for the face masks. And it's basically just a plastic bubble, like you're an astronaut. It goes down. And so there's already some players saying they won't, if they make them wear it, they won't play. And
well, how many more did tested this week alone for COVID?
72. Oh,
yeah. So I mean, it's just the roster is getting depleted by the day, and it's just going to continue. It's just I don't see how they can do it and stay safe.
I don't want them to. I literally do not want them to. It just shows you how much greed. It's a shame. It's a shame that we're actually at this point in the country, and then we've got sports leagues being like, we can still do it. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I can't even go sit down inside of a restaurant. And you're making these guys play basketball in a bubble for. It's just ridiculous.
I gotta tell you, I'm pretty bummed about no fantasy football, though.
Well, it's fantasy.
Well, it is an inconvenience for you, Andy. Yeah.
I'm allowed to be upset about it, aren't I? I'm allowed to mourn it for five fucking seconds.
You know,
I enjoy denigrating other people and showing them how much I know.
But you have this podcast for that every week.
that's true. I think that what we need more than anything right now
is a little Christmas.
We need a little Christmas right this very instant. We need a little dee 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 dee. Yeah, we promised that we would have the Christmas in July episode.
And this and has to be it because this is the last week of July, right?
This is it.
We're getting in just under the wire, yeah.
Larry has been kind enough to aggregate our selections of Christmas songs, and he made a good point. You know, we never do it sincerely. So
why start now?
If we were doing this, near Christmas, it would be our favorite bullshit Christmas song.
Yeah, the most annoying ones, and I think that's a tradition we should stick with. Absolutely, yep.
Absolutely. So if we're going to do it in July, Christmas in July, this, of course, has to be the Christmas songs that we genuinely like.
And I have to tell you, as I was compiling these, I got a little like, oh, it was just kind of really nice to hear these. It was such a pleasant experience. I'm like, I'm already excited about the holidays. it was cool. You
know, I need to actually, I'm looking forward to holidays. I'm looking forward to spending some time inside with the family.
Yeah, there you go.
I need more of that in my life.
So, here's the thing about Christmas. I was talking to Laura about this this morning or last night. With Christmas, it feels like something that can't be fucked up. You know, the 4th of July, fucked up by COVID-19. Yep. Trick-or-treating. How are we going to do that? Well, you're going to have, just leave out a bowl of candy that everybody puts their fucking mitts in? and no one's going to be around to see what your kids are dressed as. And it just sucks all the fun out of everything. But Christmas, at least, it seems like this shit, and you know, unless everybody in your family dies, won't keep you from getting some eggnog and a tree and buying a couple of bullshit tchotchkes and handing them out to each other.
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Hope your whole fucking family doesn't die.
Holy shit, where's the Tylenol? I'm excited about the, and you know what? Let's see. What do we have? We have August, September, October, November. It's only 4 months before it's time to put up your Christmas lights.
You know what, though? True. It's going to, if this is, I don't see any reason why it won't be, but if this is still happening the way it is right now around Christmas time, Christmas shopping is going to suck.
Oh, man.
Getting all
well, those. But for me. I can't remember the last time I actually went in a store. It's just that is the least fun for me is to have to walk in. I get so much anxiety. I never get my list done. I have to walk out early. People are rude and stupid, and I would just – Amazon is getting –
right,
I'm using every bit of that membership fee, right, man. My prime is going to get a workout.
But if you got kids, and all of a sudden, about 3 weeks before Christmas, a box shows up every single day, and you have to explain that Santa came this year. Not going to go hide these damn boxes.
You know what?
Somewhere
they got to find out sometime, Josh. They got to find out sometime. It's the real world, guys.
COVID it's Christmas, sorry. 2020.
Sorry, Owen. Yeah. Santa can't come.
He died with the rest of his family, so he's having the worst Christmas ever.
Actually, strangely, Santa actually died of Lyme disease from one of the reindeer. It was, isn't that ironic? You know, what you're not going to be getting is a bunch of kids sitting on some, you know, homeless guy's seasonal Santa lap
around the
holidays. There are going to be some things affected for sure.
Yeah, it's weird. All right. Weird, weird, weird. All right. Well, anyway, Larry.
On that note.
are you ready for some Christmas cheer?
Yeah, how do we want to start? All of us, once again, we all picked two songs, and it really runs the gamut from the traditional to the unusual, which is great. And once again, Andy's choices are just like fucking bonkers. So
did he look up a list 30 seconds before the show of like the greatest Christmas songs of all time or something?
That's right. You know when I first heard this song 10 minutes ago. Who wants to start?
I want to know what Alice in Chains song that Josh has picked.
I actually texted him Man in the Box when he asked me which song.
Well, but although this is one of his. I left town with a no, I'm kidding.
My baby's slipping away.
I'm the Jack in the Box.
Oh my God, Andy, that was actually a funny joke.
Good for you. Good for you.
Give yourself a ding, ding, ding.
Thank you.
All right, so yeah, Josh, why don't you go first with one of your selections?
All right, well, you go ahead, Larry. You play which you want to play the first one I sent you. I kind of picked this one out of a little bit out of a spite. So go ahead.
This is the there's the nice one and then there's the not nice one. What do you want to start with? The nice one. Okay, and you actually yanked this out from under me. I probably would have picked this one, but I had plenty of other choices. But I think this is lovely. But this is Josh's first pick.
Oh, you fucker!
I love it. Love this.
The Vince Guaraldi Trio. Vince Guaraldi Trio. Christmas time is here, right?
I will listen to this any time of year.
As soon as I hear that, I'm immediately like, dim the lights, turn the Christmas tree on, and everybody gather on the couch because it's time to watch Charlie Brown for at least like 20 minutes, and then we don't have to do this again for a year. But it immediately puts me in the mood.
Yeah, that stuff is great.
I still play that on the radio.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
At Christmas time, you'll hear Vince Guaraldi Trio. Will you hear it on?
Now you hate that song, correct, Andy? or you just hate that show?
Peanuts. When I was a kid, I loved it. Loved it. I loved watching the episode. But you know, when Snoopy did up his doghouse, and I loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. I've outgrown it. I'll say a little bit. But I did tell you that in our old neighborhood where we lived over in Valley Village, I've told you this story before. There were a couple of houses that really did it up for Christmas and Halloween. One guy had a Snoopy Halloween and Christmas thing that he changed up. Down the way, there was a guy who did he did the one for Halloween and then for Christmas as well. And part of it was Charlie Brown and Friends. And Laura was walking by there, walking Silas, you know, who was newly born at that point. And she said, "Oh, your house looks great." And he goes, "Oh, you should wait until I get penis up." And she's like, just kept walking.
No, thank
you. It wasn't until later she realized, until I get the peanuts.
She sprayed him with mace and ran.
Eat shoots and leaves, motherfuckers. It's everything.
I got a similar one. You know, I've told you guys this before, and I think we've talked about favorite holiday songs in the past, but we've never actually played with them. But I've always said, and mine kind of are way more traditional, I think, than either of you two, although not really. Josh is pretty traditional, but I tend to lean toward the melancholy around Christmas time, like that that Vince Guaraldi stuff just really just totally tickles my sphincter on that stuff. But I have to say,
what's wrong with you two today?
I don't know.
The melancholy tickles my sphincter.
There's the name of the episode.
But there's something about this song that just really gets me every time. And there's a whole bunch of versions of it, but the original one does it for me.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
That's the Judy Garland version. And it's just, you know, for a joyous time and a song that actually has a lot of, you know, high spirits in it or whatever. It's just, there's just also her voice and also her story, because she kind of was a tragic figure. There's something there too, but it kills me. It feels like the holidays, but there's also this just kind of little bittersweet quality to it. I don't know. It just, that's a sweet spot for me.
I'm right there with you. When I hear that this December, That's going to rip me apart because of how imperfect everything is right now. And you know, next year, all our troubles will be out of sight. Just the hope of that, because everybody's so road weary right now. Looks like schools aren't going to be together in any way, shape, or form now. And I have a feeling that
Christmas will start in August this year. I mean, it's just like people are going to jump on it the moment they can.
Do you think it'll be like the fireworks of 4th of July? Just people start celebrating Christmas at like December 3rd.
By the time this drops, there might be pumpkin spice at Starbucks. I don't know.
Oh, heavens.
Okay, Andy. Andy.
I was raised Roman Catholic. I was raised with a fear of God in me. And I have since wandered very far from that. But there is still this feeling, and I don't know if it's, it's like people that escape from North Korea. Have you seen them? They'll be shown. No, I'm serious about this. They'll be shown a footage of Kim Jong-un coming into an arena and everybody, weeping and going nuts for him.
Kind of like Benny Hinn.
They've been taught to do that, and these people, even though they escape from it and they don't believe it, they are entirely out of that cult of personality. They will see that and still have this visceral reaction to it.
Right.
Whenever I hear my favorite Christmas song of all time, "Oh Holy Night," whenever I hear it, it makes me feel incredibly solemn and reverent, and it puts me in touch with the spirituality that remains in me.
That's a good one.
It's just fantastic. And this version, it's so low quality because it was recorded in 1916 by Enrique Caruso. But give a few notes of this. I don't know what the fuck he's saying, but somehow it still gets to me.
I felt like I was in the prison yard at Shawshank Redemption. I turned and looked up at the speaker and dropped my baseball like, what?
I hear you, though, Andy. We have not exactly been church-going folk in a while ourselves, but there is still something quite moving about some of those traditional hymns, especially at Christmas time. And I have no problem going to a service and listening to a good choir knock out those greatest hits, man. It's very moving, and it does. There is something. Yeah. It's more than just nostalgia. There is something that just kind of feels very safe and calming and soothing in that. So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I feel it. Let's see. What Billy Joel song did you pick for your second one?
For this one, Josh? I wanted to conjure up the people escaping from North Korea again.
This is dedicated to Dear Leader here for something completely different.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel.
Yeah, there's got to be some sour with the sweet, right? So that's pretty great.
This is another one of those songs where it's like, as soon as you hear it, you're just walking around the house for the next 72 hours. I wouldn't touch him with a 32.5-foot pool. Just quoting random things from that song. Love it. Love that show. Watch it every time it's on.
It's the best.
And it's funny, too, because the music, which I think that's really, other than the song in Whoville, there's really only like two songs.
It's just garbage. I don't know what they're saying. They're like, "Welcome Christmas, time is here. Blee blah blue, blee blah blue." It's just like,
that's my point. It's like those two songs really do match the whole sensibility of Dr. Seuss, which was basically, I'm going to make things rhyme just by making words up. So
you know how he got started in all that, right? Is somebody bet him that he couldn't publish a book using only like 15 words. So his very first book was like just a complete
one of those rhyming that they only used, like hop on pop. I must stop, not hop on pop. You know, it's just, it's only like 15 words in the whole book.
One fish, two fish, yeah. Red fish, blue fish. There's your book. All right. Now, my second song, still very traditional. And honestly, I have so much nostalgia for this singer because my dad was really into him. So we were always listening to him. My dad was really a country music fan, but he loved vocalists. And so that extended into people like Vicky Carr and Barbara Streisand and Nancy Wilson. So he was dyed-in-the-wool country, but he loved a great singer, and this guy really did it for him. And around the holidays, we were always listening to this. But this song in particular now has become a favorite around the Morgan household. And not only am I going to play you a snippet of the song, but I'm going to play you the part that we all sing along together, because his vocals here are so distinct and precise, and they kill me every time, and it just makes a smile. And it's Andy Williams.
It's the holiday season. So whoop-dee-doo and dickery-dock. Don't forget to hang up your sock. It's just exactly at 12 o'clock. He'll be coming down the chimney down.
I don't know. There's just something about this song. Hickory dock. And Alex will sing it, and there's but make up words like poop dee poop and skippity scop. And it's just. Yeah.
If I didn't have kids around, I'd be singing that all day. And my cock and the dick garita.
A sock on your cock.
You just got to look over your shoulder and make sure that you're in the other room.
And what I discovered about that song, it's originally from the movie Holiday Inn, which is a Bing Crosby movie. And there's also holiday season in that movie is not just Christmas, it's every holiday, but there is a tragically difficult scene when they celebrate Abraham Lincoln's birthday. And it is all done in blackface. For years it was excised on network TV, but on TCM they still play the full version because they don't cut anything. And it is, and also what's interesting about it is that they tried to be politically correct. At that point, they were going, minstrel shows are bad. So let's celebrate the man who freed the slaves. And that's what the song is about. But everybody in the number is in blackface. And there is not a single person of color in the number. It's just all white people with their faces done up. Oh, it's bad. It's really bad. Yeah. But anyway, that song. And Andy Williams, man. That voice, right?
I'm a big fan of Andy's.
Just in general.
Big Andy fan.
All right. Yeah. And here's this is a nice way to wrap this one up. I can honestly say, as much as I love this artist, Andy, I don't think I have ever heard this song.
This came out. Now I discovered this my first Christmas at 88.5 a few years ago. And this had just come out like the year before. There's precious little new holiday music I could give shit about.
I agree.
I hear you.
But this album, I got the entire album, and it is fantastic start to finish. It's really, really, I literally, there's a song in there that makes me cry. Talking about a little boy on Christmas, and it's an old country song. I forget who did it originally, but was it Little Toy Train?
Oh, Glenn Campbell did that.
That's a great song. It's so good, but this guy does a fantastic version of it. But this song, I heard it for the first time, and it's become one of my favorite Christmas songs. Gentlemen, the fact is I'm feeling low today. Nick Lowe. This is from his Quality Street album from a few years ago.
He went to DJ mode right there, didn't he?
this song is called Christmas at the Airport.
It looks like Christmas at the airport. All the planes are grounded, and the fog is rolling in. It looks like Christmas at the airport this this year. Doors are locked and bolted. Let the festivities begin.
That's great. Nick Lowe.
Let me tell you why that works.
He's so fantastic.
Here's why that works. Is because even though it's a modern day Christmas song, it still has the vibes. If you told me that was recorded in 1963, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds like
totally.
The, you
know, yeah. What I mean? It's still a cover. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just fits right in.
Because I kind of feel like right around the 60s is when Christmas songs just kind of stop being good. You know what I mean?
The thing. Like, to Andy's point, like, when new, quote unquote, new Christmas stuff comes out, it's usually just a bunch of covers because nobody can come up with a good one. And arguably, Mariah Carey came up with the last, quote unquote, classic in contemporary music. And I like that song. It's fine. But it's rare when you hear an original Christmas song that you actually go, I want to hear that again. That's great.
I would argue the ones I hate most are the modern ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, well that's for another show. I could spend an hour talking about Christmas songs.
Yeah, our joyous Christmas episode will be us basically bagging on Christmas songs.
All right, so should we do like a recap of what we talked about during the Christmas episode about the North Koreans, about everybody's family dying?
Let me instead go to the Facebook page where we already had some contributions from Kathleen, who says her favorite is Have a Holly Jolly Christmas by Burl Ives.
That's a good one.
The opposite end of the spectrum, Don't Shoot Me Santa by The Killers, which is kind of great. George says, I will pick the best-selling song of all time, White Christmas. That's, you know, you can't go wrong with that.
And you know what, another one that kind of fits into that melancholy, what you were kind of vibe you're talking about, Larry, is Silent Night. That song, just hearing that is just like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just put me anywhere in a dark candlelit room during that time, and you're just gonna. It's chilling.
Yeah,
that's one totally. Of those songs.
Especially if you get the opportunity to ever be somewhere where it's snowing outside.
Yeah,
hearing songs like that. Oh my God, there's no the Dutch call it hygge. The feeling of being cozy with family and that warm feeling, that's got hygge right up its ass.
Yeah. I got 4 months of hygge going on right now.
And one last one, Michael here on Facebook says, this is a great one, and I almost picked this one. The Pogues, Fairy Tale of New York, is a pretty great song. And also, speaking of Christmas nostalgia, as I'm scrolling on the Your Artificial Friends Facebook page, which, by the way, everybody should check out, directly right next to the Christmas post, there's the video of me walking around in a Santa cap as we round the corner to see the big reveal of Andy's freaking shed. from back in the day.
Good times. Well, fellas, we don't have much time left, but I'd like to tell you that we have a telephone line where you can call and make comments such as this. You can talk about anything you want. We call it the YAF line, and that number is 626-657-6428. 626-657-6428, or amok PM hat, if you have a hard time remembering. But we have
just
one phone call this week.
Okay. Well, that makes up for last week's. What did we have? 19, it seemed like?
There were quite a few last week.
No, I think there was just two, but they're both 15 minutes long.
Are you ready for our one call?
Okay,
here we go.
This is George from Long Beach, wishing Disneyland a happy 65th birthday. Sorry we couldn't be there to celebrate in person. Andy wanted to hear his name in Morse code. You can hear anything you want in Morse code by going to morsecode.world and click on translator. Type in anything you want and it will translate it to Morse code. I need to respond to Larry's comment on the previous podcast. Yes, I was a nerd in school. I went to Radio Shack a lot. I played with electronics, computers, ham radio, and magic. But there is one fact that Larry does not have that will change his thinking. I lettered in gymnastics. Rings, to be specific. Number 5 in California. Google Gymnastics Iron Cross, and you will see why I had no problem with the ladies. Until next time, this is George from Long Beach.
What was that site again, Andy?
Morsecode.world. Can you go there?
No, the gymnastics one.
I didn't.
Gymnastics Iron Cross. Go to morsecode.world and get Gymnastics Iron Cross in Morse code for me, please. Andy, also get our phone number in Morse code. That would be amazing. We could just play that instead of you saying it from now on.
Hold on. Well, George, I don't know if I need to apologize because I still think my theory holds, but it's nice to know that you were at least an athletic and active young man.
That, by the way, was the best phone call we've ever gotten, ever. I have something I want to play for you guys.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
What was that?
That was Morse code for melancholy tickles my sphincter.
Hey, by the way, I think I've got the title of it. You put some music to it, Andy. I'll write the lyrics, and Josh, you play the bass. I think we've got our next original Christmas song.
Melancholy, okay. melancholy tickles my sphincter.
Google gymnastics iron cross.
Oh, shit. But now I got to rhyme something with sphincter. Oh, man. All right. Well, I got 4 months, right?
I broke out of the sweat out of that call.
that was amazing.
That was a shot I was not ready for.
Thank you for that, George. The phone number again is 626-657-6428.
That's my email address if you guys want to go ahead and reach out to me.
What is that in English, Josh?
Joshua J. Flicker at gmail.com.
Send Josh a picture of your sphincter. And
You know what?
Did you get any chum shots last week?
I didn't. Thank God. I didn't. I completely forgot about it until now.
Yes, I just came up with the term chum shots. I'm so proud of that. I've never been more proud.
Chum shots.
That's the kind of porn that sticks with you. Send your chum shots to Josh.
My wife caught me looking at my computer and had a whole bunch of chum shots on the screen.
what about you, Larry?
Oh, you can reach out on the Instagram at the Larry Morgan. That's the best place that I am not posting these days. So go ahead, bring it.
For me, it's on Instagram, Andy Chanley, DJ Andy Chanley on Facebook, or Andy _ Chanley on Twitter.
Hey, before we end this thing, we want to discuss a song for next time?
Should it be the suggestion that we got?
We got two suggestions. We had one was our like entrance theme, and what was the other one?
And the other one was favorite soundtrack, movie soundtrack.
Yes, yes.
I think soundtrack. I mean, I think we need to space these out, but okay. I definitely think that I love the idea of taking that fine gentleman's suggestions
let's do it. How about in 2 weeks we do?
Okay,
we do soundtracks in 2 weeks.
Best
soundtracks in 2 weeks. I already know what mine is. Right. I'm so excited.
Yeah,
I know my entrance song. I don't know my I don't know my soundtracks yet. But I go ahead.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships in, tune in to this podcast. We're artificial friends.
Josh, you are part of the problem.
Thank you. I try.
See you
bye
guys.
Bye, people.
There's always one. Bye bye.